So this morning's message is, watch your mouth. So may only His word be spoken, only His word heard. Amen. We love to talk, don't we? Don't we? Right. We spend 30% of our waking moments talking. The average person speaks about 16,000 words a day, with women speaking only slightly more. I was surprised by that. Only we all know that a great gust can take them way beyond 16,000, right? Certain phone call. The book of James that we're going to be looking at for the next two Sundays is all about maturing spiritually. That's the goal of the book. And the sign of maturity, according to James, the Word of God, is how we use our tongue, our mouths, how we discipline our speaking. Now, James, who was the half-brother of Jesus, in other words, he actually had Joseph as a father and Mary as a mother, tells us that our talk should witness to the fact that we have experienced the wonderful love of Jesus Christ in our life. In reading and meditating on this scripture as preparing this message, I found it difficult because I felt guilty. The tentacles of this sin are many, and there are numerous ways we can speak that harms people or displeases and dishonors our God. Think for a moment what we can do with that mouth of ours. We can lie, we can deceive, we can slander, we can gossip, we can rage, we can curse, we can swear, tempt others. We can speak wrongly about God's word. There's a silver lining implied in this scripture for today. But I want to first take a look at James' really great expose of the sin and failure in how we use our mouths. It's a veritable pathology lab of how we speak wrongly, use our mouth for bad rather than for good. It begins with a warning that many shouldn't not desire to become teachers of God's word because they're going to be judged more strictly, more harshly than those who don't have that position. The question becomes for every teacher of the word of God, and I take this to heart, is are you rightly handling the word of truth, the word of God? Are you saying what it says, or are you saying what your own passions and desires would wish it said? Because I believe there's a pandemic of misuse of God's word in churches and, of course, outside of churches. And throughout the Bible, God says, I'm going to hold those people accountable who say that I said this when I didn't. Why is it one of the most grievous sins? It's the most grievous sin because it'll separate people from Jesus Christ. It'll give them a false assurance and actually lead them away from Him. That's why it's the most grievous sin. And when people are teaching the Word of God just to accord with their own passions and desires, what they wish it would say, that's a grave injustice, a grave sin. And God will not be mocked. So let's look at our scripture today. Now we go to verse 2, and it says, we all stumble. This is the sin of weakness, that we get tripped up. We're not deliberately doing it, but we sin. And you know we do. We sin, we trip up, we don't intend to do it, we feel bad afterwards. Now James uses the word perfect, not meaning sinless, but rather meaning a certain maturity is reached. The whole goal of the book, that we are complete. In verses 3 to 5, James uses those simple illustrations to show us how powerful our tongue can be. The tongue is compared to a bit placed in a horse's mouth that enables us to control this powerful animal and go where we want it to go. Or then he talks about a very small rudder that can maneuver a huge ship, right? And to go where we want it to go. Our mouth is a powerful tool. In the next verses, he compares its wrong effect using it wrongly, to a little spark that can start a huge forest fire. I want you to think for a moment about a child being raised by a parent who tells him or her that they are trash, that they are worthless, that nobody will ever like them. Maybe the parent will tell them they're ugly, or that they're stupid, or that they never measure up. Imagine what this will do to their self-esteem. And since there's no perfect parent, I imagine you can think of something your parent said to you at some time or another that has stuck with you. 30, 40, 50 years, you still think about it, you know, that they said this of you, right? Isn't that true? Or someone that you respected says something about you that hurt you. The old expression, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Absolutely false. Words can hurt, and they can stay with us for long periods of time. You know, careless words have started a fight, even a war, right? We don't realize how evil our tongue is because we're immersed in its effect. We don't even stop to think about what we're saying. Cutting remarks once made cannot be gathered back. They have a life of their own. There's nothing more impossible to kill than a rumor that we started. Once spoken, it's out of our control. If the pen is mightier than the sword, then it's equally true that we can more readily kill a person with our tongue than we can with a weapon. The next verses, verses 7 to 8, point to the fact that we have learned to tame a number of wild animals, but nobody except Jesus has actually mastered his tongue. And then verses 9 through 12 demonstrate how duplicitous and two-faced we can be. We bless and curse with the same breath. Consider the man who speaks really kindly in public to everyone he meets. He's very kind, he's very nice, and all the rest. But at home, he rages against his wife and his children, and he speaks harshly to them. In John Bunyan's allegory, The Pilgrim's Progress, there is Mr. Talkative. Have you ever read it? I have to admit I haven't read it, but there's a Mr. Talkative. He loves to talk about his spirituality, but the gospel has not affected his life. When the character Faithful tries to engage Mr. Talkative about how the gospel can change a person's life, Mr. Talkative will have nothing of it and walks away from Mr. Faithful. Right? All this reveals a significant truth. The heart and our mouth are directly connected. Our truer selves, our hearts, will finally always make its way to our mouth. Do you remember the westerns? There was always this phrase, "White man speak with forked tongue." What exactly did that mean? It means what they were saying was not what they were really meaning or feeling, right? Again, this is saying that the heart is connected to the mouth, and our heart is revealed when we're not being truthful. Passive-aggressive speech also falls in this category. You know what passive-aggressive speech is? You make a jibe or a joke at another person's expense, and then you say, "Well, I was only kidding," when you really weren't. You really meant it, right? If you have ever used passive-aggressive speech, stop it. It's not helping anybody. You're not being truthful. You're not being honest. you're really being hurtful. People who know that we profess to be Christians and yet hear us grumbling, gossiping, lying, slandering others, delighting in vulgarity, taking God's name in vain, will naturally conclude that there really isn't any difference between a believer and a non-believer when it comes to their mouth, right? And I started with grumbling. You know, there's a lot of things to grumble about. But throughout the Bible, it says, you know, my people grumble against me, right? And that is a great sin in God's eyes, to grumble, right? But who hasn't done it? James is really convicting us, isn't he? There's nobody in this room that he's not convicting. And maybe you join me in having some guilt and alarm about how you have used your tongue in the past. I know I have. But I said there's a silver lining here in this scripture, because being able to communicate is a great blessing. To use our mouth to help people, to honor God, it's a great blessing. You know, one of the greatest punishments that on the face of the earth is to be locked up in solitary confinement where you're not able to communicate with anyone. In just 15 days, a person can suffer significant and permanent psychological damage. Suicides, depression, mental illness, even vision loss are a result of being in solitary confinement. Now think of what Jesus suffered for us. He experienced the silence of the Father when he was on the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me? He cried. You know, in his earthly life, one of the greatest joys Jesus experienced on this earth was to go away from his disciples and to pray, talk, communicate with the Father. He did this for hours and hours and hours, and it was his great joy. Then on the cross, it was gone. What a suffering that must have been. He willingly experienced this silence to redeem us, to save us. Now, hear this. We will never get the silent treatment from our God. Rejoice in that. We'll never get the silent treatment because Jesus took that silent treatment for us because of our sins, that punishment upon himself. God will hear your prayers because you believe in Jesus. As believers, we're promised a new heart. When we sin, we're grieved, we're sad, we repent. Even more, the Holy Spirit comes to reside into our life and gives us power to begin to discipline this mouth of ours, this tongue of ours, so that we don't use it wrongly. You know, as you grow as a Christian, and that's what this James is all about. As you grow as a Christian, you'll use this mouth of yours in a better way. And you can battle against Satan, who would like to take control of your mouth and say whatever your flesh would like to say and what he would like you to say. So the two most important factors in our speech as Christians are honesty and love. Honesty and love. If you tell the truth, but you don't have love, you're going to hurt people. But if you have love but aren't truthful, you're not going to help them. So the Holy Spirit in us combines truth and love. And therefore we can be of great help to other people and honor God with our mouth. Now, I know you know these ways that I'm going to give you, but I'm going to give you five ways you can use your mouth to honor God and to help others. Here we go. Number one, you can use your mouth to praise God, to thank God, and to pray for others. This is an incredibly powerful way to use your tongue. You're doing that today here, praising God in prayer. That's number one. Number two, you can tell people the gospel of Jesus Christ. You say, well, I don't know how to do that. Yeah, you do. All you have to do is Jesus died on the cross for your sins and he loves you in Jesus Christ. Believe in him and you too will be saved. It's as simple as that, right? And this is what Jesus commanded us to do. So number one was to praise him and to worship him and pray. And number two is really to be a witness. Use your mouth to be a witness about Jesus Christ. Number three, you can encourage others. Boy, this is underestimated among people. People need encouragement. The Bible is replete with examples of how encouragement is important to others. 1 Thessalonians 5:11, therefore encourage one another and build each other up just as in fact you're doing. How many have felt discouragement so many times in their life? And yet there is a person out there who will encourage you and makes all the difference in the world. All the difference in the world. So that's the third one. Fourth way that we can serve God and bless others, you can counsel and guide a person. You know, God has given you spiritual gifts. God granted you, perhaps, intelligence and wisdom in various areas. For instance, you may have financial acumen, wisdom, knowledge that can help others. You may have relationship intelligence and wisdom. You may have mechanical advice. I always need that from others. You may have biblical guidance to give people. Right? Counsel is really important because it's related to the gifts that God's given you. And finally, you can use your mouth to warn people. If truth and love are combined, this becomes a particularly important thing that you can give to people. To give them a warning like this can be one of the most loving things you could ever do for a person, to warn them away. Yesterday, we had a lady talk to us. What's the name of the ministry? Street Hope. And she was talking about trafficking. Wow, it was really good. If you go online and see her talk, it's not, we didn't tape it here, but in other places, it was really powerful. And it's a warning about what young girls and boys, how they get trapped by traffickers. And it was not like anything that I thought it was going to be. I learned so much from it. And I would suggest you do too, because they're using our own phones and internet to entrap our children. And one thing they said is that they'll use this fact that my parents don't understand me. What parents do? You know, I mean, and my parents don't understand me. And then they just reel you in and put a distance between you and your parents. And then it becomes really ugly. So there they are. Worship and pray, number one. Number two, encourage. Number three, counsel. Number two is witness. Number three is encourage. Number four is counsel. And number five is warn. This is how we can use our mouth. So, let's do it. Let's grow spiritually and start reining in that mouth of ours and use it to honor God and to bless others. In Jesus' name and to his glory. Amen. Amen. Please rise.